September 14th at 7 p.m. And if you are interested in prayer, and I think it's just really important for our congregation, please plan on being there at 7 p.m. At this point, it's at Katie's. That the location may change, but the time and date will not. So that will be the Tuesday at 7 p.m. Are there other announcements? Any other announcements? Yes, sir, Larry.
I just want to say, last night it was 8 months since Lorraine passed away. Everybody would say silent prayer. I'm sure she'll hear you.
We will lift that prayer request up. Thank you, Larry. Okay. Before we ask for any other prayer, any other announcements? Yes, ma'am.
Okay, first thing I want to know is, do you read your newsletter? If you do, put your hand up. Look at that. Okay, now, I just was wondering if you noticed something different about the newsletter and the robos, because now Miss Carol is taking over. So I would like to give a little thank you to Gail, but I need your help. So I want you to go stomp, snap, snap. This is a 1, 2, 3, stomp, snap. I'm not a good snapper. Maybe we should clap. Let's go stomp, clap, clap. This is a waltz. One, clap, clap, stomp.
Not all that Gail has done in so many ways, helping us literally cross T's and dot I's, and we appreciate that. And thank you very much. Any prayer requests? We mentioned this about Lorraine, and we'll join with Larry in our appreciation of Lorraine and her continued life in Christ. Yes, ma'am.
Jean Blackenship.
Let's keep Jean in our prayers. Any others? Yes, Mom.
Bo, Stone, and Willow, all three have COVID.
Let's keep Bo.
I wish I could take a ribbon and just put it around their house, because they're the hardest people to understand quarantine. So Ashley had it last week, and now they all have it this week. So I just pray that they'll stay in.
Thank you.
I've not been near any of them. No.
Okay. Let's keep all three of them in our prayers. Yes.
A Mary Kay friend of mine who now lives in Sarasota, Florida, Mandy Ayers, had a great loss Saturday a week ago, and it's been on my heart this whole week. Her daughter, who is 20, and studying to be a nurse, beautiful girl, committed suicide. She had suffered from depression, and they didn't realize what was happening. She has two lovely sisters, and her parents are just devastated, whole family, big family on both sides. If you would just lift them up, the Ayers family.
Thank you. Let her know to pray. Thank you so much. Yes, David.
Prayer for our folks that were left behind in Afghanistan, and for the 13 families that lost their daughters and sons in harm's way overseas in Afghanistan.
You know, I was talking to a friend of mine, and I've not eaten there since George and Martha Tomlin, they love to eat there. But someone told me they went to Texas Roadhouse, and they have a table set up with 13 empty chairs in honor of those men and women. So thank you for that reminder, David, and let's do keep them all in prayer. Any others? Yes, Gail.
So my sister is supposed to be having a radio frequency ablation tomorrow to help with tremendous pain. The scheduler canceled her appointment without telling her because the insurance had denied it because they needed more information. So she screamed at the scheduler and said, I will pay for this, and fight the insurance later. And they said, well, you'll be an add-on. It'll be up to the doctor whether or not he takes you. So she's had to be off of all pain medication while she's in excruciating pain because she can't do it before this. So she's going in tomorrow, and we just need to pray that the doctor will take her.
Well, let's keep Lynn in our prayers. What, do you know what time it is tomorrow?
She's supposed to be there at 11:15 and theoretically 11:45, but...
And that's Central Standard?
Yeah.
So about 12-ish?
No, Eastern.
Oh, she's an Eastern admission.
Yeah.
Okay, so around 11 o'clock, but even before then, let's just really put concentrated effort that Lynn can get in. They'll take care of her. We certainly will. Let her know we're praying. Any others? Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Talked to David Mason this morning. Yvette is in some real serious AFib right now. Her pulse rate doubled, her blood pressure's almost bottomed out, and she's just, she struggles with this a bit. So keep Yvette Clark in our prayers. Also, I want to keep, at a meeting I had this past week, Agnes showed me this picture of a young fella, and he's in the prayer list, Titus Sargent. And he was basically knocked over and sort of crushed by a large dog. And he's got almost a full body cast on his little two-year-old body. So keep Titus in our prayers. Any others? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Lord, what comfort is afforded to us to have the right, the privilege to address you. To think that in a world where we're filled with the frustration of not even often being able to talk to a living person, having to leave messages or go online or simply feel as if we're lost in a bureaucratic system. What an absolutely astounding truth to ponder that we can approach the Creator God, the Lord of the universe, the King of Kings, the only all-powerful one. And we not only have the right, you desire your children to enter and to bring those things that trouble us to you. Forgive us of our foolish arrogance and busyness and often failing to do so. Give us the strength and the wisdom from the Holy Spirit to, having given you our cares, to leave our cares with you. Again, forgive us of the audacity of thinking that we would ask the sovereign God to intervene and then we still feel we must worry. So we come as your children and bring all of those concerns that we have listed, all of those concerns that are on our hearts that maybe no one is aware of but you. We leave them with you. And together as a congregation, we lift up these in particular, thanking you for the life of Lorraine Shepley. We thank you for her soul, which may be absent from her body and us, but is present with the sweet mercy of Jesus Christ. We thank you for her. We pray that you'd continue to be with Jean Blankenship in her physical decline. Encourage her. Strengthen her. We pray that you'd be with Bo and Stone and Willow. We pray that their symptoms will stay minimal. Give them the wisdom to stay quarantined out of their own health and respect for others. We do lift up with Lisa, her friend Mandy, on the tragic and sudden loss of her daughter. For those of us who have experienced suicide, we know the gut-wrenching ramifications that reverberate. And we just pray that you would be with the entirety of the Ayers family. Draw close in an impossible situation, being the God of all possibilities, and bring comfort and peace. We pray that you would be with the vet. We pray that you would stabilize her pulse and her rhythm. Keep her comforted. We pray that you would be with Titus and his family. We pray that you would give a two-year-old a calmness that is often alien to that age, and give his parents and family wisdom and encouragement as they support Titus in his recovery. We pray that you would be with Lynn and with Peter, just and the entire family. Just keep her pain at a minimum now as she's off the medications. And we pray that you will open doors that only you can open. We pray that she will be able to receive this procedure tomorrow. We commit it to you. And finally, Lord, we thank you for those that give of themselves sacrificially, putting themselves in far more dangerous situations than any of us have to deal with day in and day out. We thank you for those that are willing to serve, to answer a call that places them in harm's way. And we pray for the families of those who lose those in death. We pray for the families of the 13 servicemen and women that we're aware of that lost their lives. We pray for those that were caught in political machinery. Give them safety. Put a hedge of protection around them. Encourage them and their families. And we pray, as your word commands us, that those who lead us would have your wisdom, would follow your word, and we keep their own. We commit all these concerns to you. And now we ask that we can, having given all our cares unto you, for you care for us, that we would enter into a time of worship, free to praise you and you alone as our only Lord and Savior. And we pray in your name. Amen. You'll look with me. The front of the bulletin. We gather in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your path. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait.
Amen.
If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions. Wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sins. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with the living Spirit.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. If you'll look with me to the insert, we'll use Psalm 146. To call each to this holy task of worship. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being.
Put not your trust in the Lord, nor in any child of earth, for there is no help in them.
When they breathe their last, they return to earth, and in that day their thoughts perish.
Happy are they who have the God of Jacob for their God, whose hope is in the Lord their God.
Who made heaven and earth, the seas and all that is in them, who keeps his promise forever.
Who gives justice to those who are oppressed, and food to those who hunger.
The Lord sets a prisoner free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down.
The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord cares for the stranger. He sustains the orphan and the widow, but frustrates the way of the wicked.
The Lord shall reign forever. Your God, O Zion, throughout all generations. Hallelujah.
Thank you. First lesson is from Isaiah chapter 35, verses 4 to 7. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water.
Spirit's wisdom to walk the path of life between the two ditches that we shall not fall into, of quietism on one hand, where we would just passively wait for you to do that which you've called us to do, and a aggressive moralism on the other side that would lead us to think that we are saving the world and defending all things godly. But rather, give us the wisdom to walk with an active abandonment, actively doing those things which we have been called to do by your word and spirit, but abandoning in trust the outcome to the wisdom of you. For we know that even if you don't remove the cups that, as our Savior did, we beg you to remove, you bring resurrection through your will. So we pray, asking you to save us from weak resignation and grant us courage, grant us wisdom. And above all, help us to remain quiet and confident and comforted that we are your children. And as your children, we are bold to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Second reading is from James chapter 2, verses 1 to 10 and 14 to 18. My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, "You sit here in a good place," while you say to the poor man, "You stand over there," or "Sit down at my feet," have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Are not the rich the ones who oppress you and the ones who drag you into court? Are they not the ones who blaspheme the honorable name by which you were called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. Whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become guilty of all of it. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, be warmed and filled," without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, "You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works."
Thank you. 31 and 37. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee, in the region of the Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment. And they begged him to lay his hand on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephatha, that is, be opened. And his ears were opened, and his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one. But the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
You may be seated. Beautiful words, and appreciated that duet. Now, I won't use my witnesses, because in my deep wells of creativity, which I have none, I've already decided that if they ever cut a record, that their name should be Mona Lisa. So I want you as witness, because I don't need credit, but I want cash. I want some royalties. But that was beautiful. Thank you very much. Let's pray together. Our gracious Lord, how can we say anything but thank you? Or in Greek, Eucharisto, for all you have done. You've borne our sorrows. You've forgiven our sins. You've healed us by your stripes. And you now simply say the word, and we are healed. It's a good day. It's the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Now give us your continued grace to open our hearts and minds to your word alone. Direct mind to that end. We would see Jesus in him alone. Amen. We say a lot of things that we think may be true, but they're truly quite unwise, or to be blunt, just plain stupid. But we think they're true because of the familiarity, the numbers of times we hear them repeated. And here's one that really irks me. And if it was true, I would resign immediately from doing what I'm called to do if it was true. And that is this statement that people can't change, that people don't change. That is extremely false. If that is true, the gospel is of null effect. If that is true, the word of God, the work of Christ, and the presence of the Holy Spirit is meaningless. It's often based on a false reading of a very poetic passage in Jeremiah 13 where it says, Can a leopard change his spots? And of course it's a rhetorical question in the Hebrew. No, a leopard cannot change his spots. But that's not the question. If you would say people on their own can't change, I would give a hearty amen. But to say that people don't change and can't change is far more a defeated pessimism that, to be quite honest, comes from the fact that people normally don't change. I'll agree with you on that. People normally don't change, but the whole hope of the gospel is that in Christ, all things can be made new. I know many of your stories. Many of you know my story. And can't we all say, thank God that people can change? Thank God that in Christ things can be different. And we see that in our text for today, because we picked up in verse 21 of Mark where Jen began, and we just read this little pericope. The problem in the way we read Scripture is we read it in segments. I would encourage you one afternoon to take maybe an hour, no longer than your favorite TV movie, and half the time a football or baseball game would take, and read through in one setting the Gospel of Mark, where you get the flavor. And it enables us to connect things, because something should have jumped out of the off the page when Jen said that he went through this particular region by the Sea of Galilee, the area of Decapolis, and they came to him bringing somebody to heal. Well, let's back up, because the last time we left Jesus in Decapolis, they asked him to leave. And quite hastily, if you'll look with me in Mark 5, we have that passage where Jesus heals a demonic. In this same region, Jesus makes these demons leave this madman, this one who was beside himself, and they didn't like this from economic standpoints. They didn't like it because who wants to begin loving and giving credibility to one that heretofore you've kept in chains? He disrupted their entire society, and they told him to leave. They were fearful of him. And now, several months and two chapters later, they're bringing him somebody to heal. What happened? Well, let me tell you what happened. You look with me in verse 20 of Mark 5. After Jesus took their lead to leave their region, it says, "And he went away," that being the madman, "and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And everyone marveled." Isn't it amazing that Jesus in the Gospels, whether it's the woman taken in adultery, whether it's a woman at the well in John 4, whether it's the maniac here, isn't it amazing how God will take the least credible people and turn a town upside down? That gives me hope. It gives me hope, because if he only used people like Mother Teresa and Billy Graham, we might as well quit. But he uses people who will simply accept his healing and who will tell others about it. Come and see is what this maniac, madman said. He didn't have any theological training. He didn't have a stellar background. He didn't even have any credibility in the current setting. But he had a changed heart that drove him to tell other people, don't believe me. Don't look at me. Don't be convinced by my arguments. Don't do it because I tell you. Just simply come and see. Echoes of Psalm 34, where the psalmist simply tells us, come and taste and see for yourself that God is good. And so we see that having been turned upside down by this man, they now bring Jesus in our current text to be healed. And they bring him one, if you look, is predominantly mute. And it's interesting that the one here that's mute is in great need. He's mute, we're told in the text, because he probably from birth, genetically, was not able to hear. And because of that, he never learned to form and speak. He was brought to Jesus for healing. And it's very interesting And if this is where the beauty of using the lectionaries are so incredible. Mark here, in telling us about the man's condition, uses a word that's only used one other time in the Greek. It's used in Mark to refer to one who has not the ability to speak. And it's only used one other time, never in the New Testament. But it's used one time in the Septuagint, which is a Greek translation of the Old Testament. And I'll give you a wild guess. Where do you think the only other time this Greek word is used in the Septuagint to translate a Hebrew? It's in the Isaiah passage that Brandon read for us. So what Jesus is doing and what Mark is saying is that Jesus is the fulfillment of what Isaiah promised. That Jesus is the one that's going to bring healing. That Jesus is the one that's going to come and be the one who brings healing to the sick. Who's going to bring comfort to the lonely and the weak. Who's going to bring true healing. If you'll allow me to say it, it's almost sort of like Ed McMahon. You remember Ed McMahon? The sidekick on the Tonight Show, and at the beginning of each show, remember what he said? Here's Johnny. And it's like all of Scripture is leading up, and all the confirmation is saying, here's your God. He's in your midst, the one we've been looking for. You need not look for another source of healing. You need not look for another answer to the promise. He's here. Jesus himself is healing. So let's use this, and very quickly, I want to give you three aspects of how he heals in this passage in Mark 7. And, of course, they're alliterated. The first one is the route. How does he do it? Or the means. How does Jesus heal? If you look at the passage in Mark, he uses very simple things. We see here hand and finger, ears, tongue, spitting. Just very common, simple things. And what we see through this is that Jesus doesn't come and look for the most extraordinary to use for his purpose. Jesus comes and finds the most simple, the most mundane, the most ordinary. And because of his presence, makes them supernatural. It's just another continuation of the incarnation. Who would have thunk it that God would seek to enter, to take over through the birth canal of an unmarried peasant girl who had no value, who came from pretty much of a know-nothing town? And God chose the simplicity and the ordinariness and truly the pure being mundane to show his glory. It's an interesting way a potter works. Because normally I would think potters try to make the vessel as beautiful as possible. But what our God does in his wisdom is he understands that the real treasure is not in the vessel. The real treasure is in what the vessel contains. And in James' passage, that's why it's quite foolish for us to compare vessels, isn't it? It's quite foolish for us to be partial and say, well, that sure is a more impressive vessel than that vessel. It's also comforting to know that it really doesn't matter if your vessel has a dink or two. It doesn't matter if you are a crackpot. It doesn't matter. You could be a madman. But when the presence of Jesus Christ comes, it turns everything upside down. It makes everything holy. I love the ridiculous nature of our faith. Early church father Tertullian, a North African church father and just a real instrumental guy, he said, I believe that which is absurd Aren't you glad? Because I guarantee you, within a 2-hour period of time, I could make some phone calls and I'd find someone that would think you sitting here on church would be an absurd thought. I could find, and if you're honest, you know that the blessings that you have received from the Lord is pretty absurd. Anyone here want to claim you deserved every blessing that you've received from the Lord? Anyone here want to say that you are truly a self-made woman or man? And God is quite lucky to have you on His side. No. The truth of the matter is, like this man who cannot hear, he cannot speak. Like the madman, like the woman taken in adultery, like the woman who had been forsaken, like all of us. Healing comes not through that which we do. It happens through what was done in us. In very simple ways. So the route is Jesus showing up. The second thing I want to show you is the result. Every time Jesus shows up in Mark, there's an exorcism. Beginning in chapter 1, we don't even know what the sermon is, but it says Jesus showed up, He gave a sermon, they were astonished at His authority, and demons flew. Jesus, every time He shows up, the result is there's an exorcism. That which is evil flies away. Let me give you an example about this, because Scripture uses this example. The whole thing about light and darkness. Do you understand that light, as Augustine pointed out 1,800 years ago, or 1,700 years ago, that light and darkness have a major distinction. Light is something. We'd say in Christ Jesus, light is something else. And darkness is nothing. That's why if you know the light, you don't fear walking through the dark valleys, because you know the darkness is nothing. Or as Augustine said, darkness is just the absence of light. Another way of looking at this is darkness is passive. If we have lights on, a candle lit, can the darkness overwhelm that? No, it can only become dark if what? The light is extinguished. The darkness cannot extinguish light. Darkness cannot overcome light. But immediately, what does light do to darkness? It dispels it. Immediately, if you walk into a dark room and you turn on the light, the presence of the light brings healing. Immediately. The presence of the light dispels all darkness. You can't have another result. That's why the blessed promise that God Almighty brings light out of darkness. You may be in one of the darkest periods of your life right now. You may never thought it could have gotten this dark. But light dispels darkness. And once we have the light, once we are in the light, the darkness flees. I've done this example with several of you, but I want to do it again, because it's a simple illustration, and it helps me a lot with the simple way I look at things. We are sitting in the light, right? I can see you, you can see me, there's lights on, there's lights. We're sitting in the light, right? Close your eyes, please. It's dark, isn't it? But you're still in the light. Your eyes are closed. I can see you. The light's still on. You're still in the light. And brothers and sisters, you can open up your eyes now. I want you to fall asleep. You're going through a dark period, but it doesn't mean light is absent. We live and move and have our being in Christ. And where our faith is called upon is that when you are in the darkest valley, the darkest evening, we need to know that we're not truly eternally in darkness, we're in light. And the light will dispel the darkness. Now, it gets dark. But what does the psalmist say? That weeping will continue in the night, but joy comes in the morning when your eyes wake up. And we trust that in those periods that seem dark, we're still in the light, and the God of all light is working it for our good. And that leads us to the reaction. The route is Jesus Christ's presence. The result is darkness and evil is dispelled. And the reaction is, as we see here, it says, and everyone was astonished. I'll give you one more Greek little lesson. The Greek word here for astonished is ekplesia. And it's only used 13 times in the New Testament. And every single time it's used in the Gospels, it's in direct reference to Jesus Christ showing up and opening his mouth. It's never used anywhere else except when Jesus Christ is present and speaks. See, our healing, if you look at this passage, this man's healing, his ability to speak, his ability to hear, his openness, his healing didn't come when Jesus put his fingers in his ears, did it? His healing didn't come when Jesus spit on his fingers and put it on the man's tongue. His healing didn't even come when Jesus groaned and looked up to heaven. The healing didn't come because a man had great piety or deep faith. If you look again carefully at this passage, when did his healing come? When Jesus Christ spoke. It's the word that's efficacious. It's a word that produces faith. It's a word that brings healing. Which is true in the Old Testament, wasn't it? When God the Creator wanted light, what did he do? He spoke. And light was created. And Jesus is the same. He shows up in our lives and he speaks. And when he speaks, all is well. And then we say, and I love this phrase, if you'll look with me at the end of verse 37, the end of chapter 7. This is just the gospel in a nutshell. This is your life in one line. He has done all things well. He has done all things well. There are three Greek words for good or well. And this is the one that just means outwardly attractive, beautiful, excellent. A word that you might know. Because a man sometimes, I don't know if women do this, but men will sometimes use this term to talk about a new boat or a car. And they'll say, it's fine. And that's what this means. Man, Jesus showed up and he does everything fine. Another interesting thing. Guess what the Greek word in the Septuagint to translate the word good in Genesis 1 when God said, behold, all things I've made are good. Guess what word is used there? The exact same word. In other words, when God created the first time, he said, man, this is fine. And when Jesus Christ comes into our lives and creates our life, we can only say, man, this is fine. We listen to the word and we honor and believe the word and we trust the word. And we do that and we'll look back with David. And he said in the psalm, I've been young and now I am old. And it's been fine. Or as he put it, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. One writer that I was reading, a contemporary poet, she wrote that if we live life in faith and believing God, we all have to admit that our lives are a long line of fine. I love that. Our lives are a long line of fine. Does that mean everything's easy? No. Does that mean everything goes our way? Of course not. Does that mean there's not real evil that we deal with? Abuse and betrayal and all those other things that happen? Of course not. But it's to say that that doesn't have the final word. That the final word is a God who speaks light that comes out of darkness, and we can say, we've had a long line of fine. Or as Oscar Wilde said, and I don't think Oscar Wilde would have been quoting the song, but it's real close to that, Joy Comes in the Morning. Oscar Wilde said that everything is going to be fine in the end. And if everything's not fine for you right now, it's because it's not the end. Joy comes in the morning. So in your end, everything's going to be fine. And in the very end, let me read how fine it'll be as I close. In the very end, we read this, because of the healing properties of Jesus Christ. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and he will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And he who is seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. And all his children say, it's fine. Amen. Let's stand and confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated.
Join me in the Eucharistic prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Praise be unto you, God of the prophets, for you have taken in your own two hands the redemption of your world and refashioned us from brokenness into life everlasting with you. Like a potter, you fashioned your chosen people, making them into a vessel worthy of your glory. When that vessel was spoiled, you called your people to repentance and sent prophets to renew their faith. In the fullness of time, through the death and the resurrection of your Son, you reworked the clay like a potter at a wheel and remade a vessel revealing your goodness and grace. Through the forgiveness of sins, raising us up from the dust of the earth to the hope of everlasting life. And so with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. God of love, you welcome us at this table.
as brothers and sisters in a new family. Shape our life together by the way we belong to one another in you. Send your Holy Spirit upon your church to make us a faithful witness to your beloved community. Sanctify this bread and this cup that they may be for us the body and blood of your Son, our Savior, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you, for this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." For great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Creating and recreating God, you are the potter and we are the clay. Renew your church today in the touch of your hands. Start to know the places that are broken and the hearts that long to be mended. Form your people in faithfulness to Jesus. Shape us to be his disciples, to take up our cross and follow him. Have your own way with us, Lord. Mold us and make us. Search us and try us. Touch us and heal us. To all shall see Christ only, always living in us. Bring us at last to the blessed day when we are one, with a family of saints gathered around your throne, in the company of the Holy Spirit, in union with Christ. Father most holy, now and always.
Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Brothers and sisters, the early church called this a table of healing. And because it was the Lord's table, they extended it, as I do, to all everyone who loves our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in sincerity and truth, and who seeks to be healed by his presence. We are all unworthy. But as the centurion of old, we simply cry out, simply say the word, and we are made well. I invite you to the table of the Lord to receive his gracious gift of himself for our healing. Amen. Thank you.
having fed us of your word and at your table. Truly, we join with the heavenly host, the angels on high, all the created order, in declaring that truly the Lord is good and does all things well. Amen. Let us stand for our final hymn. Amen. The service is over. Go in peace to serve and love the Lord.